kakhulu. We are so happy and honored that the whole of our family is with us in this committee. It will always be with you even if you are the former chair. But also to caution you to say in this committee, radical economic transformation is not a theory. We want to practice it. You will see during our oversight that we are so on the ground to the people, to change the lives. We want to tell them about the figures and theories of economy, but we want them to change their lives for better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we move to the officials of the Department of Small Business Development?
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Sim Titi, Western Bank, CFO for Department of Small Business Development.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Lindo Wilson Kumane, acting DDG, Department of Small Business Development.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Mojali Fakramatla, acting DDG for Integrated SME DSBD.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Jeffrey Ndumo. I am the acting DDG, Corporate Youth Development.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Nosipho Kongwa, I'm the executive manager for the technology programs of the
Department. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Sinju Labini. I'm the senior manager for strategy at CEDA.
Morning, honourable members. Oliver Kubirane, the parliamentary officer in the minister's office. Thank you.
Honourable members, my name is Sean Noro.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Tseho Makua. I'm the head of the DG in the Department of Small Business Development. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Jessica Longway. I'm the head of office in the ministry based in Cape Town and acting chief of staff for this committee.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Bridget Peterson. I am the head of corporate services for the Department of Small Business Development.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Nkuma Nyelo. I'm in the office of the Deputy Minister responsible for media and parliamentary affairs.
Thank you very much. The agenda for today is to consider and adopt the first quarter committee program. I mean the fourth quarter committee program. And after that we then deal with the first draft of the 2017 budget review and recommendation report. And our meeting is set for the whole day when we are considering the report. Before we continue with our agenda, can we then take apologies? Are there any apologies? I'll start with Father, followed by Mother and Dad, Father of Mother and Dad, and then Father of Chuka.
Yes. President and members, I'm so sorry to give an apology on my first day, but I wasn't aware that the meeting was going to sit the whole day, and they gave me the notice. It was like it was a normal meeting situation. So I'm out in Cape Town this afternoon, so my apologies for the next time.
Honorable
She'll be joining us a bit later. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, delegate is Isadio Minister is in the International SME and Small Business Fair in China for the 17th coming.
Chair, DG, she's also attending the international event in China. Chair, good morning, honorable members and colleagues. I also received an apology for honorable Mabasa, who is in study leave. He's writing exams. Thank you.
Honorable Mab. Thank you, Chair. At 2 o'clock, the whole assembly has been invited as members. On the governance cluster, and there'll be a briefing by the Minister, Ibrahim Patel, as members of those committees of governance have been asked to attend at 2, not to speak.
An assessment of whether the department is operating according to its mandate. Is it doing what it is supposed to do? And does the department understand the relationship between the mandate of the department and the challenges that are faced by the country? And in this situation, the challenges that are faced by the country
government has committed itself in addressing is poverty, unemployment, and inequality. Then the mandate of the department is to champion and coordinate development of small businesses, SMEs, and cooperatives. Then the fact that the department is new, it was established in 2014, and it has been going through a process of establishing itself, continuing with the programs that existed, which were designed to address the needs of SMEs and cooperatives before the inception of the department. While it also has to understand and design programs that are speaking to the mandate and addressing the challenges that exist in the country, makes this portfolio committee to be a priority to members. Because if the foundation of the of a house is weak, the house collapses. So this process is a process which requires members of the portfolio committee to thoroughly scrutinize not only the performance of the department in terms of the APP, but a broader understanding and positioning of the department to execute its mandate in order to address the challenges that have been identified in the SDP and move towards meeting the set targets. So, in my view, Honorable Mwab, I would think that it would be a priority for all members to try and sit here so that we can influence and be one in identifying how we can add value in assisting the department to position itself in such a way that it is able, like all of us are saying, it is a very important department. If one looks at the targets of the NDP, out of 11 million new jobs that are expected by 2030, 90% of that is expected to come from small business, which then means that the Department of Small Business is actually at the center of enabling that small businesses and cooperatives are able to create those jobs. And I would really request that we prioritize this, and also to say that on Friday we will be sitting again up to 11 to ensure that we adopt the budget review recommendations report. Because in terms of our parliamentary deadline, we are supposed then to submit that report, and then the final day is the 18th at the House. Honourable Mwab.
Thank you, Chair. From your explanation of these two events, the briefing and what is happening in our committee, I will, with that condition, succumb to your request. I will arrange with my whip and maybe one of my colleagues will attend. I will remain in this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Honourable Chan.
Chair, I wish to make a request. Both my colleague and myself will be unavailable on Friday. So if there's any chance that we could maybe try and adopt the report today, I would think that.
have the views of other members of that. Honourable Ndawo.
Chairperson, I am tempted to, although the available, I'm tempted to second Honourable Chance, even if we come late today, so that we can select, because you can see the time we've come Friday is only for 2 hours. And we can squeeze that 2 hours to 1 hour.
If it is possible. Any input from the AEC?
Thank you, Chief. Yeah, this is I'm tempted also to agree as Honourable Mount has seconded the move by Honourable from the DP. But if it is possible that we finish today, we do that.
But the usual process is that I'm sure Uthi, there is no member who has read this report. And then after that, the study group of that party said to look at whether the issues are what the party would want to see happening. And the reason for us to have a in between before we adopt is that we usually go back to our study group and consolidate positions. And in all the times, we would say, this is the position of the ANC in relation to the recommendations. We'll follow that process. And also the DA would say, this is our position as the DA. But I don't want to dictate anything. I'm just alerting you to that gift that whatever will be said here by each man will not be a consolidated position. Honourable Dlamini Zuma.
I was just wondering whether we are meeting tomorrow or not, because I know other committees. No, not tomorrow, next week. Because I know other committees are, and in one of the committees, we had to also reschedule our meeting because some members have to attend the funeral, so they can't attend the funeral. So I don't know whether there could be a member of the board, but I know in the other committees where I can meet. So maybe we should look at whether we can meet next week then. If we don't finish today, we can.
I would actually prefer that that route to say that if we can't meet on Friday, can we then relook at making that an item for next week on Wednesday? We start with that, and then deal with the rest of the agenda after we have adopted. Thank you very much. So. Then the next item is the consideration of the first quarter report, which we have already started to amend, because we are amending Friday meeting, we are cancelling it, and we are taking that item and putting it on Wednesday next week, and Wednesday the 18th. Can we have the shaded part of the program is what we have already done. Honourable Chance.
Thank you, Chair. On the 8th of November, I would like to make a request that we change the program so that the first, sorry,
told my, may I remind the portfolio committee that in the past we have made such proposals. I'm referring to attending a conference. We have made such proposals, and the last time we proposed to attend a conference was that in the interest of cutting costs, the portfolio committee should rather have, should rather be represented in conferences, summits, and the workshops to which the portfolio committee is invited, represented by the chairperson. The reason for that is that those conferences would not be budgeted for in the budget of the portfolio committee. There would be events that are happening which the portfolio committee may have an interest on. And then the best way to handle that in reducing the cost would be to have the committee represented by the chairperson. And in situations where our program is tight, like we can see on this one, we would then, the second person, if the chairperson is not available, is usually the whip of the majority party in the committee. Or I then ask him to represent me in that conference which the committee was invited to attend, and then prioritize work of the portfolio committee. So my response to that is that I haven't received the invitation personally, and even if I haven't received an invitation directed to the portfolio committee, I'm not saying that that conference is not important. The point that I'm making is that we have done that in the past, and that is how we advise to deal with invitations for attending conferences and summits on the day of the portfolio committee. If it is another day, it's a different situation altogether. But the issue also of a budget having to be used to attend something that we did not budget for in our budget was raised.
So I'd just like to correct myself in terms of the agendas. Quarter one and quarter two, quarter not three and four. The conferences in the Cape Town area, so the costs will be basically transport costs. I don't think there will be any attendance fee. But as I said, it's up to you, Chair, with the Secretary, to have a look at the documentation that I've sent, and you can make a call.
Let us leave it at that. I would like to get a formal invitation of the portfolio committee or information that would then assist in arriving at a decision on how to handle that matter. But the program for the 8th, in my view, is set, because even if we will have a delegation, the program is set. We will still need some delegation. Okay. Honorable Lau.
Jonathan, I agree with you. I was thinking maybe on the program. We had on part of the one-day program, we include on the present program, we include on one particular day before we close the, we go to the recess, we get a draft of our initial.
can I paraphrase what I'm hearing you saying? You are requesting that before the end of the fourth term, we invite the department to present to us progress or what that they have done to deal with the issue raised in terms of problems that were identified in relation to financing of small businesses and corporates. If I were to be very specific, in an oversight report to Umala, the portfolio committee is identifying that there could be corruption. And then it recommends that a further investigation be done and forensic. And it also resolves that it will conduct its own forensic investigation assisted by the Office of the Auditor General, which is something that is in process because the portfolio committee had then to apply to the House Chairperson for that to be allowed to take place. But in addition to that, when the SEFA board read the report, they then instituted their own internal forensic investigation, and they have since presented that forensic investigation report to the portfolio committee. And what I hear you saying is that we would also like to hear what the department has done in relation to that. Is that what you are saying? Thank you. We look for a space to have that done. Are there any amendments? Honorable Kruger?
Madam Chair, just to come back to the CIFO situation, remember we only got a presentation on the report. I think we want to see the whole report of CIFO. Remember they just gave us a presentation on the report.
Honorable
Kruger,
when last did you see your MA?
Chair, I was just wondering why ICAD, it's not on the program, and it's definitely an issue that's now, for the past 3 or 4 weeks, we postponed it every time, so if we can just fit it in some way, officially, so that we can discuss it.
When we were discussing that matter, we then said the parties must go and discuss it because it was proposed right in that meeting. And parties have not responded to me to say what is it that they have decided to do with ICAD. So as a result of that, I could not feature that in the program. But in any case, all parties are represented here. They can respond to what discussions took place and what is the way forward. Honorable
Madam Chair, from the DSI, the thought is that we invite ICAD to this portfolio committee again, and so that they can present the model, and then we can make an informed decision.
I don't think that there is a dispute in that. What made me ask to say, let the parties go and discuss that. I would want political parties to go and discuss as to whether members of the portfolio committee are engaging in corrupt activities if they bring in people that have initiated certain technologies and exposed that, or certain models and exposed the department to that. Is that corruption on the side of a member of parliament? And if a company or a technology or the portfolio committee has come across and gone through during the oversight, went to see a particular technology, a particular model, and then the portfolio committee feels that this is something that can create jobs, this is something that can improve services, department, look at this. Can that be perceived as corruption? That is what I want political parties to come and discuss and come back and take a decision informed by that understanding. I'm saying this because there is a lot of gossiping around COMA that COMA was brought in by certain members of the portfolio committee overstepped its mandate when it exposed the department to COMA. And I wouldn't want to create animosity between the department and the portfolio committee in terms of what is it that would be viewed as corruption in terms of members. Are members not allowed to refer people who need services from the department, or are members not allowed to expose something that could be of assistance in job creation and whatever? That is my main reason for doing that. I'm trying to be very careful so that I don't get accused for things that are not there or are perceived to be there. And also where you would hear stories without actually being asked directly. So that was my reason. I'm trying to be very, very careful.
Yes, thank you, ma'am, for that. It's the first time I hear it from you that there's a possibility or there's a perception that there could be corruption. So saying that, I think it's very important that we put this on the agenda so that we can discuss this. Because it's not about corruption or a member of parliament bringing something to this committee so that we can force the officials to do something. There's a need in the communities. I mean, the members of this committee are on the ground every day of their life, or every second day, but at least every weekend of their life. So they know their communities, they know their needs, and they also know that the communities where they are on the ground at least once a week, they know they need jobs. So to create jobs, to create a model where you can create jobs and serve the needs of the community, I can't see it's corruption. But please, Madam Chair, let's put this on the agenda. And I would like to get more information, because if there's any official that imply that there's corruption, reduction because I'll try to push if I can. I would like to speak that, to that official. Or I'd like to speak to whoever thinks there's corruption in this case. Because I think that's, I don't know, I'm shocked.
Thank you, Chair. I just think we should be absolutely clear what we mean about when we talk about corruption. Corruption in its simplest form is the use of one's personal influence to derive improper benefit from a transaction. And I see nothing wrong with this committee, its members, making proposals for the intervention of certain third parties to achieve economic or social objectives, so long as there is no personal benefit derived from such intervention. So I just support the position that you're taking, and also reiterate the point that Mr. Kruger was referring to. If anybody can point to any personal benefit derived by any of these members, then they should come forward, and rather than making, you know, casting aspersions in the whispering corridors.
Chairperson, I'm afraid if we can put this particular committee to be hosting SMITE, sort of. If the people maybe who are making us position to you, the issue of COA is not about you, it's about the committee. We went there and see what they're doing to develop our property. So it can't be you that you said now you are afraid, you want to be careful. Don't do that as a leader of this committee. You are the chairperson, then we go sit all the way until this time. So if we try to listen to the gossip, we'll end up in a problem. Because this committee went to oversight and see the best thing to transform the life of the poor people. And that's what we saw in the COA, that's what we saw in the ICAT. So I don't think there is anything which can deter you to take a decision. So I will quote the other paraphrase by former President Thabo Mbeki. He said if he decided to go and take water in the river, and he find at the river the frogs are crying, he don't listen to frogs. He carry the water and do what he's been sent for. We have been sent by the people of South Africa, elected in them as a multi-party in this committee. And this committee to radically transform the life of the people. So whatever we can see to pick up to assist the government in order to help the poor people must be used. So it's not about you as a chairperson, it's about this committee. When you talk, it's not you, it's the portfolio committee of small business. Whoever is making accusation to you is making an accusation to us. Those people who are lazy there in the department because they don't have work, they have time to gossip. We're not going to entertain them, chairperson. We're here to change the life of the people in our own time. I was part of this resolution in Mamamo of the economic transformation. I know what I'm talking about. When the development was created, I was very happy and I jumped in. But now we're on the third year. This development is not doing anything. People are still poor. The mortality rate of the cooperatives is going high and high. When we have people here, COA, who can assist our people to develop the cooperatives and bring the life back out of poverty. When are we going to eradicate poverty? When are we going to create jobs which we promised? You promised the people. The NDP said by 2030, 90% of the workers must be from the small business and the cooperatives, while the mortality rate is dying. It's become rhetoric. So no, chairperson, don't listen to the gossipers. Listen to the take the mandate, the idea of the people. People are suffering. People, they don't have work. People, you know, we are going to be a welfare state, as you said, where people will live by grants. What is the same way? There's a model.
try this model of uplifting the life of the people through small business and cooperative, as is in the NDP. Look, we objected the NDP, we said it's not real, because we know that people are lazy. So instead of people to prove us wrong, they are proving us right. That the NDP is just a rhetoric. We're left with about less than 15 years now. But the jobs, there's no job created. But we have people like ICAT, they're coming with a model, assisting the people, showing how to make cooperatives work. So some people come and say, it's corruption, corruption. No, no. There's a definition of corruption. It's totally different of what people are talking. We can't drag ourselves to corruption and to this thing which people are gossip and everything. So I'm asking Jefferson, hold on, be strong. It's about the committee. The committee see a green light out of those people who are picking over on oversight. So we can't go to oversight and come on something we recommend people. They said no, no, it's a setup and everything. In order to, because they said that company was training Israel. They're just being addicted on hating Israel in such a way that everything from Israel is wrong to them. And which is bad.
I wasn't opening this debate here. I was explaining why that decision was taken. So let us not debate the issue. Let us go back to the political parties. Because what we agreed on that day was that political parties are going to go and discuss this matter in relation to what do we do when we come across, as members of the portfolio committee, what do we do when we come across something that we think it is good, and then it has to be exposed to the department? What do we do? Do we go to whisper to individual member of the department, or we bring it here, we are transparent, it is known that so-and-so, honorable so-and-so, saw this, and then we are exposing the department, and then the department can take the decision. And if the department is implementing is that corruption to the member that saw that? And I am just making an example about power. I know all the arguments that if I did not bring in power, power was seen. And the person you know, that I met was Noriri, that Gomsins, and the first letter that came from the portfolio committee was visiting an Msinzi project. There was no power in the picture. I only picked up that the actual company that is teaching people how to plant. When I read what was posted in the media by Honorable Charles, and then I came back to him to ask, and in which project did you visit? Because when that visit took place, first day, we were called to attend an emergency, a special meeting of the NEC, and I gave Honorable Mabasa to lead the delegation. I did not speak of during the first visit. I picked up from on the writing by Honorable Charles, and then I went back to him and asked. So I'm not saying we're not discussing who are here. We are discussing the principle that is it corruption for Honorable Dex to come across a model and a technology that Honorable Dex think it can create jobs, it can be used to deliver services. Like for instance, we do come across the potholes. I took this committee to Ugu, where I was the deputy mayor, where I introduced the potholes repair on the ground and how that can be done, not using the Manilama's fund, but working with a civic organization. The money that repaired those potholes SANCO Development Institute, and I was the president of SANCO at that day. But that money was used to address a problem that was affecting the community in Ubu. And I took this portfolio committee to go and see that model like that. It is possible to achieve the same result of creating jobs and also of delivering services without using government expenditure. That is what I was doing. I don't know whether that was corruption. But what is going around is that that is corruption. And I want political parties to speak on that. That's all that I'm saying. Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I want to support your initial idea that this is not be a debate. I'm afraid now we are really diverting from the agenda of looking into the program. Because if we define corruption, it can take the whole day. But the principle that we are saying, that whenever we come across good things that will help our people, we should bring those things to the committee. I would assume that maybe if corruption is what is being said, I'm a potentially corrupt person, because I'm going to bring another progressive initiative that helps our people out there, especially in the years. But I propose that we close this one and move with the agenda.
So we will effect the amendments in the portfolio committee and proposed in the program of the portfolio committee, but quarter program of the portfolio committee as proposed. Can we then move for adoption of the program with amendments?
Madam Chair, are we going to then, because I haven't heard a proposal that we make space somewhere this year to discuss this this issue. So when are we going to discuss this issue then? Because I remember my first when I put up my hand, I said I need some, you know, on one of the days we need to discuss ICANN. That was my proposal, and then it started becoming corruption. So we need a day on this program. When are we going to discuss this?
And political parties go and discuss it and bring their responses next week. We will amend the program accordingly. That is what I'm saying. Are you satisfied? I will find it.
No, ma'am, I'm not satisfied, but I will stick to your reading. It's okay.
The point that I'm making is that I can't slot it now here in this program. Political parties need to go and discuss, then we'll find a day on which to discuss it and close this book. Honorable Lau.
Chairperson, we as EFF, we talk about it immediately after that, and we saw there's no problem. I think it's the ANC which must sit down and come with the solutions out of this. We don't see any problem as EFF. We can put it in record that as EFF, we don't have a problem of something which would come and uplift the life of the people.
Can we close this now? Can we close this matter because we are changing a decision that we have taken? We have taken a decision that we allow the political parties to go and discuss. Those that have discussed have no problem, it's fine. But the point that I'm making, Honorable Kruger, is that let us allow political parties to go and discuss it, come back next week and report, and then we
don't have a problem with the principle, but let's put it on the agenda. Let's put it on the agenda that we will discuss it next week or the week afterwards or whenever. And let the political parties do their own thing. But let's put the item on the agenda. Because this is the, if I look at today's agenda, this is what we must do, is consideration and adoption of the quarter four committee program. And I'm saying, let's put that item on the agenda for the fourth quarter. That you have to have a problem. Why would it be a problem? I don't know who's got a problem. I mean, I'd like to meet that person.
In terms of the process, we agreed that political parties must go and discuss and come back with information that will enable us to take a decision as to whether we will be bringing ideas again here. That is the process. Political parties were given time to go and discuss. Political parties have not come back to say we have discussed. And then I am saying, on the basis of that, let us give you time again, go and discuss. Let's put that as something that we will discuss next week to say, what did you arrive at? We are not inviting ICAT for next week. What did you arrive at? And the feedback from the discussion that would have taken place in political parties will then give us a direction as to whether we will be inviting ICAT or not. That is the process. And I don't think that there is any other way we can arrive at this discussion, because we have a resolution that go and discuss this as different political parties. What I have only done today is to elaborate as to why I said do that. I said go and discuss it so that we can be at the same level in terms of understanding what corruption is. And what members are allowed to do when they come across something that they think will assist in development of small businesses. And provision of services. It's not the first time there is Vusi Sizwe that we went to, and everybody was excited to say, if we can do this for the street vendors, we would create jobs. But the issue is, do we perceive that as corruption if something is identified by a member of this portfolio committee? And if it is identified by a member of this committee, is it allowed to be brought here for presentation so that I don't allow things to happen here? I don't allow Honorable Broker, when he says to me, I have come across this technology. Can we invite those people? And then I say, yes, we can invite, and then I put them on the program. Honorable Fosazo.
just worried that this matter is taking a lot of time. Is it possible maybe to just give the parties a deadline that by this time we must have discussed and then you have a meeting where the parties then say what, so that the everybody knows that in 3 weeks time or whatever, the parties must report back on what they have discussed, so that you, because otherwise you keep going around in circles.
I have already proposed my meeting. Let us report back next week as to what we have, what each party is saying about this.
I'll second that proposal.
Thank you. Can we then adopt the program? And what program are we proposing? Any member for adoption of the fourth program of the portfolio committee with amendments? Honourable Mwaku.
Chair, I move that it be adopted with such amendments.
Second, Honourable Osazai.
Second.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to the second item, which is the court? May I find out from members if they need time to read the report before we start discussing it? Is there a member who would want us to spend maybe 30 minutes or so going through the report before we start discussing it? My way of dealing with this, I was going to propose the content advisor to take us through the important points of the report and then get into the discussion of the report, if that is agreeable to members. Honorable Mark.
Chair, I agree, but I want to be specific to say if it takes us to our observation and recommendation, because I think that's what's important. The other thing of legislation, not what it won't help.
Any contrary view? None? Mr. Gomez?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, colleagues. I'll just take 5 minutes of your time to go through what are some of the areas I consider. In terms of the BRRR report that we have compiled with my colleagues and the Secretariat, it actually consists of 8 sections. The first section, it's basically give members a guide as to the relationship between the BRRR and the constitution of the country. Specifically, Section 77.3, which stipulates that an Act of Parliament must provide for a procedure to amend money bills before Parliament. It is in this constitutional provision that gave birth to the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act of No. 9, 2009, which is basically about the BRRR. Also, Section 1 briefly outlined the methodology that we used in terms of developing the document in preparing the report. It also provides the mandate of the committee and the department, the purpose of the report, as well as limitations of the report. Over the BRRR process, the committee assessed the performance of the department for the 2016-17 financial year as outlined in its APP and its entities, that is Small Enterprise Development Agency and Small Enterprise Finance Agency. Furthermore, in carrying out this exercise, the committee received presentation from the Auditor General, from the Public Service Administration, from the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, specifically in relation to the performance of the department on a number of indicators as encapsulated in the annual performance plan of the department. We further utilized a number of source documents, including the 2015-2019 strategic plan of the department, its APP, the annual report of the department as in entities, the financial statements, the estimates of the national expenditure as provided by National Treasury, as well as a number of state of the nation addresses. That is from 2014, since the conception of this department, to 2017. That's basically as far as Section 1 is concerned. Section 2 starts from page 6 of the document to page 16. That's Section 2. As Honorable Nwabe has indicated, Section 2 just deals with the macroeconomic perspective, basically where this department derived its mandate from, which is the National Development Plan, the New Growth Path, the Medium-Term Strategic Framework, the IPAP, and various SONA State of the Nation addresses as indicated earlier. This section also covers the various strategic plans of the department. As far as the Portfolio Committee is aware, there are two strategic plans that the department has developed. There is one for 2015-2019, and there is another one for 2016-2019. There is one that is currently being proposed. I think it's 2017-2019, which has not been tabled to this portfolio committee. Also, the 2017-2018 annual performance plan of the department. On Section 7, we are making recommendations around this particular issue. For instance, the portfolio committee is of the view that the department seems to struggle in terms of cascading the policy priorities as contained in the MDP and the New Growth Path and IPAP, and translate this into programs and key performance indicators of the department. It's covered on Section 7, we'll go there quickly. On Section 3 starts from page 16 to 33 of the document. On Section 3, we simply revisit the previous recommendations and responses for the past two BRRR, that is 2016 and 2015. It must be said, however, that some of these responses are quite disconcerting. They seem to be a knee-jerk response in the view of the committee. For instance, late yesterday, we received responses with regards to BRRR, 2016 BRRR, which speaks of institutional creation such as the CDA, Cooperative Development Agency, Cooperatives Training Academy, National Small Business Council, and Cooperative Tribunal. For 3 years now, the reason for non-achievement has been attributed to lack of finance. The Portfolio Committee notes, again, under observation, that perpetual spending contradicts this assertion. The department underspent during 2015-16 financial year. It also underspent during 2016-17 financial year. So it's going to be a bit of a mission to convince National Treasury to allocate more funding to create this particular institution when there is perpetual underspending. Also, the committee has also not been presented with a credible business case. that the department presents to National Treasury when it bids for funds. This recommendation was made in the 2016 BRRR to say the portfolio committee must be presented with this information just to get an understanding, you know, of what is also encompassing a clear value proposition and a social rate of return for the government through utilizing, among others, computable general equilibrium. This is so that the portfolio committee can support this business case going forward. Section 4 starts on page 34 of the document to page 41. For me, section 4 and section 5, they are quite critical. Section 4 deals with the financial performance against its allocation for the financial year 2016-2017. If members can look at the table 3 on page 35, we look at the overview of the vote allocation and the expenditure of the program for this period 2016-2017. For instance, during the previous period, the first program, which is the administration, was allocated 118 million. During the 2017-2018 financial year, this allocation has gone up to 127 million. However, the department, in terms of actual expenditure for the 2016-2017 financial year, it could only disperse 98.9 million rands. In terms of problem two, which in the view of the committee is the core function of this particular committee, it has allocated 26 million rands. This was adjusted to 25.8 million rand during the adjustment period in October 2016. The department could only spend 13.8 million of that budget. When you look at problem number three, which is program design and support, the department was allocated 1.1 billion. This actually includes the transfers to CIFA as well. Also, a billion rand was spent on this particular program. So, in terms of the performance, financial performance or financial expenditure, the audited financial statements were tabled in Parliament together with the annual report to the department during the 3 to 5 October. The allocation, as I've indicated, was 1.3 billion for the 2016-2017 financial year. Okay, the department recorded an under expenditure of 122 billion for this financial year. I hope members are noting the regression from the expenditure of 97.5% during the 2015-2016 financial year. As a result, I'm making note here that during the 2015-16 financial year, the department successfully expended 97% of its budget and only underspent by 2.5%. However, its financial performance for 2016-17 financial year regressed by 122 million, as I've indicated. In percentage term, that is 9.2% of the allocated budget, compared to 28 million rand under expenditure during the previous year. Okay, quickly moving to section 5. Section 5 starts from page 41 to page 46. And it deals with the overview of the service delivery performance, including program performance. It also covers the auditor general findings and recommendations. On the report, we noted that during the current financial year, or 2016-2017 financial year, the department remained where it was during the previous financial year by obtaining unqualified audit with material findings. The material non-compliance was with respect to transfers, specifically the cooperative incentive scheme, the Black Business Supplier Development Program, and the EIP, which were found not to be adequately monitored and approval processes were not in compliance with Treasury Regulations 8.4.1. The Audit General indicated that the department must enhance its oversight and monitoring responsibilities. Again, I'm referring members to page 85 on table 4, where the department had committed to achieve 38 indicators, a total of 38 indicators. On administration, there were 14. On policy and research, there were 11. Program design and support, there were 13. On administration, which is program one of the department, only 12 indicators could be achieved, which translates to 86.86%. On program two, only 6 of the indicators were achieved, which translates to 55%. And on problem 3, only 9 of the indicators which were achieved, which translate to 69%. And in terms of the overall achievement vis-a-vis total targets, the department could only achieve 27 targets, which translates to 71%. And an area perhaps that the members should underline, I indicated, for instance, that on administration, in terms of the current financial year budget of the department, that one has increased from 114 million to 127 million. On problem two, which is policy and research, which members in the past have indicated that they consider this particular program to be the core function of the department, the allocation for the previous financial year, 2016-2017, was 26 million. However, this has gone down to 21 million. I'm not sure if it's because of its poor performance, because as you can see, it achieved 55% in terms of its indicators. Also in terms of the financial performance, it could only achieve 54%. So I think this is one area that perhaps members would want to underline. Then quickly moving to section 6. Section 6 starts from page 46 to page 50. Section 6 specifically deals with the two entities, that is CEDA and CIFA. On CEDA, for instance, if you look at table 14, there is a summation there of the programs, which is program 1. Which speaks to enterprise development, program 2, which speaks to CEDA technology program, program 3, which speaks to administration. And then on CIFA, I'll jump to CIFA as well. If you look at table 15, for instance, it gives a summation of what CIFA has achieved in terms of approvals, in terms of disbursement, in terms of business finance, in terms of jobs facilitated from 2018 to 2017. For instance, in 2018, there were 440 million approvals. This jumped, for instance, to 1 billion rand in 2015. It further went down to 827 million rand in 2016-2017. Jobs facilitated in 2013, CIFA facilitated about 20,000 jobs. This is up to 55,000 in 2017. Then on section 7 and 8, section 7 and 8 basically covers the committee observations, which begins from page 50. It starts from page 50, the observation, to page 55. Then recommendations starts from page 55 to page 57. This section is basically a synthesis of recommendations, past and present. It is based on the deliberations of the informed by the assessment of the department in each of the sections discussed above. It also consists of recommendations made by the committee during its own ordinary meetings, consists of the recommendations and observations and recommendations made by the members during its oversight visits, particularly to the province of KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga. There are also recommendations emanating from the portfolio committee interactions with the members of the public, the civil society, the small business sector that represent interest of the small business sector. Chairperson, you will guide me as to how you would want me to proceed, whether I should read recommendation by recommendation, or because this is basically, for me, it's just a guide really in terms of the observations and recommendations, but this is for the members, for instance, to add, to beef it up, to reject, or to amend where they think they need to be amended.
Thank you. I would appreciate if you were to take us through the observations of the committee, because they are important, and also the recommendations. And when we do that, I will then expect members to reflect on the oversight visit, what is it that we picked up there, which is reflected here, in terms of our understanding of what the department has to do, particularly on the coordination side, and facilitating the signing of the transversal agreement, because that's where the gist of the that is at the center of the performance of the department. If you miss that, so whilst the content advisor is taking us through the observations and recommendations, I would appreciate if members can then reflect on the observations that are not contained here, which will be informed by the number of interactions that have taken place between members of the portfolio committee and the structures that are represented by the MMEs, and also the oversight visits, and informed by the understanding of the portfolio committee, of members of the portfolio committee, as to what exactly is this department supposed to be doing, and is it doing what it is supposed to be doing.
Observations of the committee starts from page 50. I will not go through the introductory part. I'll just go straight to observation number one, which is 7.1, where in the course of the budget vote process, at the start of 2017, the portfolio committee was briefed that during the DSPT interaction with the PME and National Treasury, that was in November 2016, regarding the DSPT APP, the department was subsequently encouraged to review or to rework its 2017-18 APP to strengthen its oversight role over the entities in order to reduce duplication of functions, and to reflect its contribution towards the priorities of the economic sectors as reflected in the 2014-2019 MTSF and the NDP. The committee is making an observation that the APP has since been reworked, but it has not been presented to it yet. That one is important. I'm not sure if DPME and National Treasury has approved of this particular APP, but the fact of the matter is it hasn't been represented to the portfolio committee yet. Observation number two, which is 7.2, the committee wishes to iterate its support for the DPME and Treasury recommendation for the department to prioritize strengthening of working relationship with the municipalities and provinces. Again, the committee is on record having registered its dissatisfaction that the duplication of functions functions and programs tailored for small businesses is prevalent across the entire government, and there is no strategy from DSBD to coordinate these functions and eliminate wasteful duplication and functions and resources. This recommendation was also made during the 2016 BRRR report. Number three, the committee has over time observed that mandate overlaps, territorial protection, duplication of functions and silo mentality within the departments from national to local government level is a huge problem and tends to contradict fiscal consolidation initiatives currently being pursued by government. A number of state departments still carry out functions and provide products and services tailored for small businesses, which every so often leads to not even double dipping, triple dipping. We heard of Matsila. It's a typical example, Matsila Community Development Trust in Limpopo. It leads to triple dipping in the fiscus. The committee again had in the past requested DSBD to involve Treasury and DPME on these and other matters, basically to identify functions and resources that are still sitting in other departments, like your agriculture, your rural development, your economic development department. The committee notes that little progress has been attained in this regard. Observation number four, the issue of CIFA ownership and reporting remains a major concern for the committee, as all of its budget allocation is still handled by DDP and therefore sits on budget for 25. For the committee, this is untenable. This is an untenable situation and frequently causes needless confusion and duplication of functions, as EDD itself has strategic objectives exactly similar to DSBD. One of those, for instance, is the development of township economies. It's a duplication of function and resources. Also, observation number five, the portfolio committee is of the view that CIFA incorporation obfuscates DSBD mandate of exercising oversight responsibility in terms of the PFMA. Unlike CEDA, which is a Schedule 3A entity, CIFA is not a Schedule 3 entity, but a Schedule 2 entity, taking a cue from its parent company, IDC, which is a Schedule 2 entity. The PFMA states that the subsidiaries of all the public entities or SOEs listed in the schedules are in the PFMA, are automatically also categorized under the same schedule as their current entities, irrespective of the corporate form or type of the subsidiary relative to that of its parent entity, which is the case in point with CIFA and IDC. Furthermore, CIFA has six subsidiaries accountable to it, including non-profit entities. Non-profit entities, a company without a share capital, there are implications. There are implications for having a subsidiary that is a company without a share capital. And in terms of the PFMA, there is also no provision for the department to exercise oversight responsibility over these subsidiaries, yet there are public resources that get disposed to these entities on a yearly basis. Observation number six, there is still a general discordance in what the department considers to be its mandate and key deliverables vis-a-vis its fiscal directive as proclaimed by the state president during its proclamation and inception in 2014, which, among others, is to champion the development of small businesses, coordinate various government departments horizontally and vertically, and sign transversal agreements that generate market access opportunities, transversal agreements that ease access to finance, transversal agreements that amplify skills development, transversal agreements that eliminate bureaucratic red tape. Observation number 7.7, the committee further notes that DSBD's inability to convert policy priorities I spoke about this earlier. For instance, NDP, NGP, MTSF, and so on, into programs, into strategic objectives, and key performance indicators for implementation. I'm making an example here. For instance, there is no clear strategy on how to leverage 30% procurement policy from small businesses as announced by the president during the 2015 SONA, or there is no strategy to utilize strategic levers that are available, such as legislation, regulations, licensing, budget, and procurement, as well as BEE empowerment charters to influence the behavior of the private sector and drive transformation. This was again announced by the president during SONA 2017. This is despite the portfolio committee having recommended to the department during 2016 BRRR to conceptualize the retail and wholesale charter, which in terms of the committee timelines was due for completion by quarter one of 2017-2018. There is a study done by Unilever, which will help my colleagues. There was actually an observation there about Unilever, but I had to remove it because of the dust story. But there is a very useful study that I will circulate to my colleagues to read around the wholesale and retail sector in as far as the small business sector is concerned. Observation number 7.8. For instance, a committee visit to KwaZulu-Natal, the department was once again reminded a simple fact that in terms of roles and responsibilities in relation to coordination, KZN Department of Agriculture and Rural Development responsibility in agricultural projects is to advise. In fact, this came from the official from the Department of Agriculture who said their role is to advise beneficiaries where to plant, when to plant, how to plant, land prep, planning, matching crops and types of soil, BRUs, and monitor the crop, but not the commercialization aspect of the project, which is where, in the view of the committee, the department is lacking. Again, this was prior 2017 SONA, where the state president underscored the government commitments to support black smallholder farmers, in particular the implementation of a commercialization program for black smallholder farmers. Again, this is just to illustrate the inability of the department to link the policy priorities as announced during the State of the Nation address and convert that or translate that into programs, into strategic objectives and key performance indicators for implementation by the department. The absolute failure of the 12 Abalimi Agricultural Cooperatives pilot project substantiates once more that, in the view of the committee, the DSPD is simply important in translating government commitments into program of action. 7.9, for three consecutive financial years, budget allocation for program two, in fact, this was contained during the 2016 BRRR. For three consecutive financial years, budget allocation for Program 2, which is a core unit in the department, has been minuscule. During the 2017-18 financial year, it did not only receive the lowest allocation, but it has also been slashed by 4 million rand, from 26 million rand to 22 million rand, which when combined only amounts to less than 2% of the total budget of the department. Less than the 0.8%, less than in 2016-2017. While on the other hand, Program 1, a mere support unit of the department, its budget has increased by 12.3% from 113 million in 2016-2017 to 127 million rands in 2017-18. There is a disjuncture here in terms of the budget allocation. Observation number 7.10, the department was founded in line with the National Small Business Act 1996 as amended, based on the assumption that once it was up and running, this act will be speedily brought in line with the NDP, MGP, MTSF, and numerous other policy prescripts and instruments that govern the small business sector. However, for two conservative financial years, the department has failed to finalize the review of the Act as amended. Instead, this again has been deferred for completion during 2018-2019, unless if perhaps the new information can be presented to the portfolio committee indicating otherwise. Observation number 11, or 7.11, the committee observes that most of the senior management staff in the department have been on an acting capacity, albeit on a rotational basis, for more than 3 years now. The portfolio committee has on numerous occasions identified this as an area that has impaired the proficiency of the department. The committee further notes that this is worsened by the perpetual program review, which at the time of finalizing this Metropolitan Act, for instance, was still being deliberated. Again, I'm not aware of any new information that has been presented to the committee indicating otherwise. As far as the portfolio committee is aware, the program review is still being incomplete. So is the APP for 2017-2018. 7.12, in its successive Metropolitan Act recommendation, the committee has been consistent in its call for the creation of institutional support structures as provided for in the Cooperatives Act, for instance, which is the creation of the Cooperatives Development Agency, the Cooperatives Training Academy, and the Cooperatives Tribunal. While on the National Small Business Act, the BRRR recommendations are consistent again in calling for the creation of the National Small Business Council. Again, there is no new information that has been presented to the portfolio committee indicating otherwise. So it's still not being achieved. And in terms of the DSPD budget going forward, it doesn't look like this has been catered for. Observation number 13 or 7.13, as introduced to earlier, the committee visited Mpumalanga province at the beginning of 2017 to beneficiaries of the cooperative incentives scheme. The majority of the cooperatives funded by the department and ultimately visited by the portfolio committee in the province of Mpumalanga are boiler production projects. However, the committee noted that all projects have neither been introduced nor known by the local and provincial governments and therefore incapable of attracting supplementary infrastructural support, largely as a result that they do not appear on the IDPs of the local municipalities. Furthermore, there is no effort from this department to cluster the boiler production cooperatives together in order to realize economies of scale. Each cooperative is doing its own thing. Observation number 7.14, the committee noted that not only in Mpumalanga but nationally, the demand for broiler production with almost identical specifications such as broiler house, concrete floor, water tank, manifold systems, full package curtain system, automatic bell ringers, thermometer, etc. To mention just a few. The department has consistently failed to proactively embark on a process of bulk buying and negotiate favorable terms of trade, not just with the service providers who provide these services to the cooperatives, but also with the chain stores. Consequently, price discrepancies sometimes within the same province, as we discovered in Mpumalanga, and sometimes from the same service providers, is alarming. In other words, we find that the same service providers is charging different amounts to a different cooperative, yet it is located or domiciled within the same province. The next observation is around in most of the projects the committee visited in both provinces, Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal, were not subjected to feasibility studies. This is common across all the projects, not only in KZN and Mpumalanga, also in Limpopo, for instance, there is also no evidence that when projects are funded, the department and its beneficiaries bother to go through special development plans of the local municipalities just to ascertain if the site selection are in accordance with the to the local government frameworks. It is not surprising, therefore, that most of these projects are just opposed alongside residential homesteads, like we've discovered in Mpumalanga. Jinguswana is one of the typical examples of a project that is located right in the middle of the households. 7.16, pursuant to 7.7 above, in relation to DSPD's incapability to cascade policy articulations into tangible deliverables that benefit small enterprises, operating premises or sites availability, just for any projects, not just the boiler production, tend to throw small enterprises into a state of frenzy. This is one of the areas cautiously identified for reflection by the government in the new growth path. The challenge of dealing with unscrupulous property owners can be strenuous for small businesses. The exploitation that some of the small enterprises are subjected to is terrifying and in fact demanded the department, in collaboration with COPTA, provincial and local government, develop a carefully crafted strategy to deal with this issue. Premises for small enterprises are proven to be a break or make issue, which needs to be attended to as a matter of agency. The next observation by the portfolio committee around the offsite visits, particularly the Mpumalanga Lake, it afforded the committee an opportunity not just to associate with CIS beneficiaries, but also to establish how public resources are dispersed, irregularity on how CIS applications are handled and processed, is the basis for consent, and now a matter for forensic investigation by the Auditor General. The Portfolio Committee discovered that the elimination of cooperative application, including quotations, without concrete motives is worrying. So is the appointment of service providers without cooperative consent, or pressurizing cooperatives into accepting service providers of the department's choice without following due process. This tends to subjugate the CIS intents and purpose, and it actually flies in the face of what this department was created to accomplish. Next observation, 7.18, the committee notes that in spite of overwhelming evidence by some of the officials within the department, not one of them has been brought to book. The committee records and wishes to applaud CIFA for conducting a swift forensic investigation when the committee pointed out irregularities it exposed in Mpumalanga, which will expectantly lead to criminal prosecution. Again, the portfolio committee is not aware of what DSPD has done to that effect, despite tons of evidence that was actually presented to the DG and the department. The last observation, during 2016-17 planning cycle, the department's leader in CIFA embarked on a joint planning process that culminated in the development of a portfolio strategy framework, which is called 2015-16 to 2019-20, which will feed into an overall strategic framework for the entire small business development portfolio. The committee notes, however, that during the annual report presentation, the level of contradiction between the two entities on a number of key issues was actually observed. For instance, to make an example, CIFA is pushing ahead with its policy of curtailing direct lending to small enterprises. This is in order to deal with the high impairment. And instead, it is prioritizing wholesale lending, in other words, financial intermediaries. Again, during the same presentation by CEDA, which was done by the CEO, CEDA was very critical of using intermediaries, as their interest rates are usually very high, This is the view of the committee. The committee has persistently raised its objection to the use of intermediaries by CIFA, which reportedly charge an interest of between 40 and 110%. Again, the department is failing to provide leadership on this issue. Should I continue Chairperson's recommendations, or members would want to discuss observations before we continue to recommendations? Okay. Therefore, in terms of the PC recommendations, there are 10 in total. They begin from page 85. The first one is to say the committee is in agreement with National Treasury and DPNB that the department must refocus its attention to program 3, which include agent oversight, monitoring and evaluation, and to intensify initiatives directed at supporting intergovernmental relations, provinces, and municipalities. The committee has actually hammered this point over and over and over again. And then recommendation number 2, in line with the Auditor General recommendations, the department must report quarterly to the committee on the implementation, progress, and action plans to address poor audit outcomes, to provide feedback on status of controls, especially the monitoring of incentive scheme, and to provide to the committee a list of action taken against transgressors. Okay. Recommendation number 3, the department must further explore other strategic partnerships and use other structures such as President's Coordinating Council in order to expedite the signing of transversal agreements and relocation of other functions that still exist in other departments to DSPD. This could unlock more funding for the department, as the Minister of Finance is also part of the council. Recommendation number 4, strategic posts within the department have remained vacant for far too long. The department must furnish the committee with an action plan on the filling of vacant positions that exist in the executive of the department. And these positions are Deputy Director Generals and Chief Directors. Next recommendation, with the National Small Business Act so outdated, the department is literally operating in a vacuum. The finalization of the Act must be expedited. The draft bill must be submitted to Parliament at least before the end of quarter 4 during 2017-18 financial year, that is before 31 March 2018. Furthermore, the department must submit to the committee a list of all other related regulatory measures, acts, bills, policies, etc., before the end of quarter 4 in 2017-18. Next recommendation, in line with the 2017 State of the Nation Address, call for the government to utilize strategic levers that are available, such as legislation, regulations, licensing, budgets and procurement, as well as BEE charters, to influence the behavior of the private sector and drive transformation. The department must, in fulfillment of the in fulfillment of the 2016 BRRR recommendation, finalize and present the first draft to the portfolio committee of the proposed retail and wholesale charter, at least before the end of this financial year. Next recommendation, the department must urgently engage National Treasury to ascertain how much it would cost to establish support entities such as the National Small Business Council, Cooperatives Development Agency, Cooperatives Training Academy, and Cooperatives Tribunal. Such engagement should include discussion on the practice note or regulation on the implementation of the proposed cession of contracts as requested by CIFA. This one again is very important. Some of the entities, small business entities that are going through the litigation process with CIFA are owed monies by the state. Number 2, the implementation of 30% set aside policy medium and cooperative enterprises functions, directorates, and budgets currently residing in other departments. In the event that the department encounter challenges in either retrieving small enterprise problems left in various departments or in creating intervention strategies, the department must duly inform the portfolio committee so that the committee can initiate the process of engaging other relevant committees of the parliament and also national treasury. Next recommendation, in preparation for this meeting, the committee is still looking forward to the department bidding proposal to the national treasury, encompassing a clear value proposition and social rate of return for the government through utilizing, as indicated, applied general equilibrium or econometrics model. The committee is quite cognizant that National Treasury is not likely to increase DSPD budget to accommodate for the creation of the proposed institution without a well-articulated and clear business case. So this is basically what the portfolio committee would want to see, a clear business case that DSPD presents to National Treasury. The next observation, the committee notes that CIFA has struggled to lend money to small enterprises via CFIs or cooperative financial institutions. It is also not persuaded of CIFA's approach of using intermediaries to loan money to small enterprises. The committee has in the past instructed the department and CIFA to have a strategic discussion on the matter and report back to the committee. In this regard, a request is being made that this discussion should take place before the 31st of March 2018. There is also a need to consider a model that will be cost effective and sympathetic to circumstances of small enterprises, and most importantly, it must accelerate the use of CFIs and cooperative banks as part of a broader government strategy to streamline access to finance, particularly for survivalist, small, micro, medium, and cooperative enterprises. The last one, Chairperson, is around the 88% failure rate of cooperatives enterprises, which is a clear demonstration that intervention such as CIS are failing and therefore necessitate evaluation or assessment. The committee is thus reiterating and stressing the agency by the department to finalize the review of the CIS grant and to also speed up the development of a master plan and national strategy for cooperatives before the 31st of March 2018. That was the last one, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. There is